Well, good morning, church. Merry Christmas. That's so much fun to say. I'm going to say that again. Merry Christmas. So if there's any of you who don't know me, my name is Brian Wiley. I am privileged to serve as the chair of our governance board here at Trinity Covenant Church. And thank you for showing up for Christmas, the day after Christmas Sunday worship. If you're joining us online in your pajamas, as Jamie said, we're glad you're with us as well. And just so glad that you're here. So if you're wondering where our wonderful senior pastor, Peter Kim, is, he is in Chicago this week with his family. Despite all of the airline issues that are going on, he and his family were able to make it to Chicago yesterday. And so they are with grandparents and having a wonderful family time. And I am so pleased to be able to bring the word to you this morning so that he can have a very well-deserved rest. And, you know, the great thing about Christmas is I get to wear my Christmas tie. So, you know, I don't normally wear ties to church, but I can't not wear this because it's Christmas, right? And the topic for today is anticipate joy. So I get to back clean up on the anticipate series that we've been doing during Advent. But I got to tell you the truth. When Peter sent out the order of preaching for this series and I found out that I was going to preach on anticipate joy, I was like, oh. Anticipate light, anticipate truth, anticipate hope. Yeah, I can do all of those. Joy's been kind of hard this year. I don't know about everybody else. I mean, I kind of feel like we're stuck in that middle part of the song that Jamie just sang, you know, the part that says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." That's what it feels like, right? I mean, we all remember 2020. 2020 was pretty hard. We had a pandemic, we had lockdowns, we were doing remote church, we had this awful election cycle. I mean, it was just a bad year. And I think most of us were ready to kick 2020 to the curb, grab 2021 and just go, right? Yeah, how'd that one work out? Not so good, right? We still got a pandemic. The news is still not great. There's, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to be in my office again at work. You know, just kind of keeps going on. You know, and probably my least favorite phrase lately, the new normal, right? The new normal, it gets applied to everything. It gets applied to supply chain issues, to working remotely. I don't like it. So, you know, I start thinking about these Bible verses about joy that we all know about, like, rejoice in the Lord always, or the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I started thinking, I'm not doing really well on those. Maybe I'm not the right guy to be preaching this message this morning. Maybe I should ask Peter if he can change the order of the sermon series so I don't have to preach on this. Well, I didn't do that, partly because I was scared to ask him to change the order. But honestly, I think God wanted me to preach this message because I needed this message. And I'm guessing there's probably a few people today who need this message too. So if you're like me, this is the message for you. We're fellow travelers. I feel like I should be sitting down there in the seats listening to whatever it is that I'm about to say because I need it too. And if you're experiencing the joy of the Lord this morning, awesome, all right? Hang on to that. And I hope you get something out of this too. I think you will. But we're going to go through this journey together. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go all the way back to Christmas night, and we're going to go join up with a little band of shepherds who are not so different from us, believe it or not. And we're going to see Christmas through their eyes if we can. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this. Holy, holy, holy Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts bless the one who came in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. So, as you might have guessed, this morning we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. The story of the shepherds, the story of the angels coming to the shepherds. Here's the thing. We've all heard this passage a lot. Right, I did the math. If you're like me, you know, kind of 50-ish or older, you've probably heard this over 100 times because you hear it every year at Christmas at church. And then, of course, you watch Charlie Brown Christmas and Linus says this, right? You've heard this a lot. We've all heard this a lot. And when we've heard something a lot, like Evan was talking when he preached a few weeks ago, you get familiarity, right? And it just kind of goes by you and you don't even think about it. So what I want to encourage us all to do this morning is to pretend you're hearing this for the very first time. Listen. Close your eyes if you need to. I'm going to go slowly through the passage. Listen to this story because it is a wild story. Okay? So here we go. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Okay, I'm going to pause for a moment. Are you all like freaked out by this? Because you should be freaked out by this if you're really pretending you're hearing this for the very first time. All right, let's keep going. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Okay, if you close your eyes, you can open them now. Look, there's a ton of stuff in this passage, right? And I actually think it would be really fun if we had time to go around and ask everybody, what'd you get out of this passage, right? Because I love doing that kind of thing. But we don't have time for that. So I'm just going to highlight a few things that came to me as I've been wrestling with this passage and really pondering it over the last few weeks. But I think they're really cool. So first of all, and I know this is obvious and people talk about it a lot, but it's right there in the text, and so I can't go by it. Jesus came to the wrong people. I don't mean God made a mistake, because of course God didn't make a mistake. I mean he didn't come to the people that everybody expected Jesus was going to show up to. I mean, he was born to normal people. He was born to Mary and Joseph, a carpenter, and his wife. And he was announced to shepherds, not exactly the A-list of the Bethlehem community at the time. You know, and there's a popular song, which I'm actually really fond of, called "A Strange Way to Save the World." And the second verse really plays this out. It says, "To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth." And that's true. But But let's think for a little bit about how would it have been if Jesus has come as he deserved. You know, we would have probably expected that Jesus would have been born to the household of Herod or the high priest. You know, some big, powerful, important person in first century Palestine. So if that had happened, would he still have been the Messiah? Of course. Could he still have saved us from our sins? Well, of course he could. God could do all that, no matter how Jesus showed up. But when Jesus said things like, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," or "the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost," would we have believed him? Or would it have sounded like empty words coming from a rich and powerful person? Jesus knew what it was like to work, what it was like to be weary. He hung out with tax collectors and sinners and shepherds. And his ministry to the least and the lost started right at the beginning in the way he came, to a common family and to common shepherds. So why does this matter to us? Well, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life, plenty of times, where I feel like I'm the wrong person for Jesus to come to. I do stuff I shouldn't do. I say things I wish I hadn't said. But Jesus demonstrated through his whole life that he came for all people, even the ones who mess up. No matter where we are in life, no matter what we have done, Jesus came for us. And that's worth rejoicing over. So, the shepherds respond to the angel's appearing. How did the shepherds respond to the angel's appearing to them? Well, let's go back in the passage and look. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, this is one of the places where the Bible's very understated. So I'm going to give you the Wiley expanded version of this verse. Sounds something like this. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds picked themselves up off the ground, and they pulled their jaws off the floor. And then they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem." I mean, this story is wild, isn't it? Angels just don't show up to people. Do you know anybody who's seen the heavenly host? I don't. They weren't common in first century Palestine either. Prior to the Christmas story, you know, the angel shows up to Mary, the angel shows up to Joseph, the angels show up to the shepherds, right? But prior to that, nobody had seen an angel in Israel in 500 years. So, you know, it wasn't exactly an everyday occurrence. And these weren't just incognito angels. These weren't like the ones that showed up to Abraham or like the ones that we see in Touched by an Angel. You know, they get the little glow over their head. No. Glory of God. You know, the glory of God that descended on their tabernacle or that descended on Mount Sinai and the Israelites were afraid to go up the mountain because the glory of God settled on the mountain. The glory of God that the Lord said Moses couldn't see. That glory to shepherds. I mean, come on. The story is crazy. It should blow our minds. We should all be sitting here saying, God's amazing. He's awesome. He's original. Right? And not just here. This is all throughout Scripture. Look at how God used Moses to rescue the Israelites. Look at how he used David to defeat Goliath. Look at all of Jesus' miracles. Turning water into wine, healing the blind, the lame, raising the dead. And then you've got Christmas, right? We're talking about Christmas, and we've got Easter. It's wild, it's crazy. But let's go back to the shepherds for a moment. So what did the shepherds do? So the text says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So they heard the angels, they believed, and they went. And then they spread the word. So again, in the Wiley expanded version of this verse, everyone who heard the shepherds thought they were nuts. Okay, the text doesn't actually say that. I want to be clear. But think about it. These are shepherds. They're not on the A-list. They're running around through Bethlehem in the middle of the night saying that the Messiah has just shown up and he's in a manger over there. How many people were going to believe them? I mean, we don't have anything in the text that says Bethlehem, you know, thronged over to the stable to go see the baby Jesus. If you had a bunch of shepherds running past your house saying they had just seen the Messiah, you'd probably figure they were a bunch of weirdos who'd been drinking too much wine. And that's probably what happened there as well. But the shepherds didn't care. The shepherds had just seen the Messiah, and they had to tell people. So here's the question. Are we more like the shepherds, or are we more like the people who heard their stories as they ran through the town? You know, I sit down each morning, I read my Bible, and if I'm honest, I let a lot of these stories wash over me like a chapter from just another book. It's so easy. It's so familiar. We've grown up with it. But this is not just another book. It's the Word of God. The stories in the Bible really happened, or they will happen. It's filled with real people, with real miracles, with real wisdom, and the real, true, and only way to salvation and eternal life. The shepherds believed the story of God, and they rejoiced. Do we? Okay, so last point. We're going to go to the very last verse in the passage, right? Which, again, we all know this pretty well. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Okay, so here's a question about this verse. Why were they glorifying and praising God? Why? I mean, they were still shepherds. They still had to go back to the sheep. The rest of Bethlehem thought they were crazy now, right? They probably had to live that down for the next several years. So it looked like nothing changed, right? But everything had changed for these guys. The shepherds had heard and seen things which were just as they had been told. So what did they see? Well, they saw a baby, right? So were they rejoicing over a baby? Yeah, they were. But it was more than that. They were rejoicing over who the baby was and what he would do. Because the angels had also said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. The shepherds were looking forward to the day when this baby would fulfill the promises there all through the Old Testament about the Messiah, redeeming the people, making all things new, righteousness and justice, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Because the baby was there, just as they had been told, they could believe the future promise of the angels as well, even though they were still shepherds. And so they rejoiced. I think we're kind of in the same place as these shepherds were. I know it's 2,000 years later. None of us sleep in fields with sheep all around us. But we live in this weird in-between time. Jesus came, right? He came at Christmas time. And we've even got a little more of the story than the shepherds had, because we know that he died for our sins. We know that he was raised from the dead. And that's awesome. But most of those Old Testament promises are still out in the future. We're still waiting for righteousness and justice and peace. And it's hard. Remember how I said I was ready to kick 2020 to the curb and jump into 2021? Well, we all know that 2021 has not been a walk in the park either. And, you know, I got to tell you, this year was really hard for me personally. As you, most of you know who know me, I thrive on relationships. I love talking with people, getting to know people, just hanging out. And my work style for my whole career has been like 2 hours in front of my desk and the rest of my time walking around, talking to people, meeting with people, sometimes in my office, sometimes, you know, where they are, but moving around with people. Well, for the last 18 months, I've been working from home. And all of my interactions have been by Zoom or by email or by instant messenger. I've got people on my team I've never met in person. This is not my preferred working style. But I don't have any choice, right? It is what it is. And, you know, my other part-time job, which is leading here at church, that's been really hard too. I love our church, and I love all of the people of our church. And I believe that God called me to be on the governance board. But this last year has been the hardest of the 7 years that I have been on the board. This pandemic that won't go away. Masks, no masks, masks again, no masks again. Another variant showing up. Are we being too lenient? Are we being too strict? The things that we've been accused of over the last year, I'm looking at Randy here because he's walked through this with me, and Paul and Jen, and oh my goodness. And look, I'm not saying any of this because I'm looking for sympathy, right? Don't run up to me afterwards and give me, you know, sympathy or anything. That's not it. And I know that there are people listening to this, and people that I know and people that I love who have been through terrible things. They've lost loved ones. They've, you know, had sickness and all of that. The point is, life is hard. This has been hard for all of us, whether you've been affected directly by the pandemic or not. And in my case, and in I think a lot of our cases, these things that happen, they just overwhelm and they cause us to lose joy. And that's what happened to me this year. You know, this fall, in September, Liesl and I went away on vacation, and I was done. It was like all I could do to get over the finish line to vacation. And this is it. I sent Peter a note. I said, Peter, do not contact me while I'm on vacation. I need to not do any work or any church. I just need to get away. And I was having serious thoughts like, why don't I just move to Wyoming? Well, why don't we just move to Wyoming, right? Of course. But, I, you know, if this is what work is, I don't want to do this anymore. I was done. And that's really unusual for me. That has really never happened to me before. But that's where I was at. And so we went, and it was beautiful. You know, we went out to Western US, and we love it out there. One of the things I love the most out there is just how clear it is. You can see for miles. The skies are blue, like just a color you don't get in the Northeast. And at night, the number of stars you can see, it's just breathtaking, right? It's amazing. And I couldn't wait to get back out there again this fall. Well, guess what? You remember all those wildfires that had been happening out west this year in California and Washington State? All of that smoke was in Wyoming. It was hazy every single day. Sometimes in the days it looked like overcast, and in the night you could see a few of the stars, but nothing like what we've seen when we were out there before. And even that was hard. I was like, oh man, I just want to go out here. I just want some beauty. And it was still beautiful, but it was different. It was partial. And so one morning, it was near the end of our vacation, we were at our favorite campsite out in the Teton Forest out there. And I was up early and I was just looking out over the valley and I was watching the sunrise. And this is the picture from that morning. It was still hazy. You can see how hazy it was. And this was our whole trip. But as the sun came up, it's really kind of hard to see, and so I did a blow up on the side. There was one aspen tree on the slope opposite our campsite that was just starting to turn, just starting to get the tinges of orange and red that are so amazing when those trees change color for the fall. It was the only tree on the slope. And the sunbeam just came right down upon it. And I heard the Lord say to me, "The smoke will clear. The smoke will clear." And I took this picture, and this picture is on the desktop of my computer. So every day I get to see this, and I get to remember that the smoke will clear. Nothing external changed about my circumstances. We came home from vacation. I'm still working from home. We still have a pandemic. But this message from God was a reminder to me that the promises are still out there. The hope is still coming. And it was enough. And that's what the message of Christmas is in this time that's so hard. It's the promise of joy, the certainty of joy that's coming to all of us because of the Messiah who came as an infant. And so I think back to the song that Jamie sang just before I came up. And this is what's so beautiful about that poem that Longfellow wrote and that's been turned into the song. We get into the last part, right? The promise of the last part of that song. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. For peace on earth, goodwill to men." Jesus promised he would come, and he did. He promised he will come again, and he will. The kingdom is coming. Good is coming. Peace is coming. Restoration is coming. I need to hear that. We all need to hear that. The world needs to hear that. So what do we do with all of this? How do we keep this going? Because Christmas is great, but a week from now, the decorations will all be gone, and we have to get back to life, right? So here's just a couple simple things, and I'm taking this right from what the shepherds did. So the first thing to hang on is to remember. Because the first thing the shepherds had to do when they got the message of the angels was remember the promises in the Old Testament that they had been taught as kids. Remember what it meant to hear the word Messiah. What did it mean to hear the word Savior? And that's what we can do too. Remember God's promises. Remember these crazy stories of God showing up when he's least expected. And then celebrate. Right? So yesterday was celebration, right? Most of us celebrated Christmas, especially if you've got kids, right? We can celebrate all year long. Every Sunday morning should be a celebration of what God has done and what he will do. So celebrate. And I know it's hard sometimes, but it doesn't change what God has done. And as long as we can remember what God has done, we can celebrate that. And then finally, anticipate. Look forward, right? Look forward to the return of the King. I can't wait for that day, I'll tell you. So let's learn from these shepherds, from the very first people who heard the message of Christmas, to remember and to celebrate and to look with joyful anticipation towards the return of Jesus, our one true King.